Hey guys, I'm Heidi Preeb. Welcome back to my channel, or welcome if you're new here. This winter on this channel, we have been talking about rupture, self-recovery, and repair. And today, we're going to start wrapping the series up by talking about some concrete repair attempts that you can make if you find yourself really stuck on where to go next with a relationship that is struggling with a lot of conflict and not a lot of reconvening. Now, specifically what I want to talk about today is the spirit behind these repair attempts. Okay, because there's so much stuff that you can go out looking for online that's going to give you things like active listening tools or ways to address your problems through nonviolent communication or whatever it is. But I think that what is most important when it comes to getting back into connection is both people authentically wanting to. And what I mean by that is that we have to design a new version of whatever connection or relationship we're in that we're actually excited about in order for repair to take hold. Okay? So a lot of the time, especially in relationships that have gone on for quite a while, we find ourselves in these places where we've kind of baked the relational dynamic into our lives in a certain way that works really well in some departments, but is failing on other levels. And so what we end up doing, for lack of a less crass way to put this, is we make kind of half-assed attempts at repair. Right? We go, okay, I will sit down with you and I will listen to what you're struggling with. But in the back of our heads, we're going, as long as you also meet me here, 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 and here, or whatever it is. So when we're looking at repair, we're often looking at how can I repair this area without messing anything up in all of these other areas that actually kind of benefit from the relationship being in the kind of disequilibrium that it's currently in. So what that might look like is if you are someone who, let's say, has to compartmentalize their emotions on a daily basis in order to do the work that you do, which allows you to keep providing for your family, it's going to be pretty hard for you to suddenly uncompartmentalize your emotions and be super available for your spouse only when it makes sense to, right? Because there's a delicate ecosystem that you're working with where you might genuinely want to repair things with your spouse, but there's something in another area of your life that is kind of working against you being able to do the things that would be necessary to actually repair in a deep way. So when we look at making a whole ass repair attempt, which is what we're going to call that today, what we're looking at is how to actually take the relationship that we want and make it a core organizing principle of our lives for a period of time. And we might find out in this process that actually keeping the equilibrium the way that it is in other areas is in fact more important to me or to the other person than finding a solution to this conflict. So that might mean that we find ways to live around the recurring conflicts that we have. It might mean we learn that, unfortunately, leaving the relationship is going to be a better fit solution for both people than staying in it. Or you might find out some really magical things about ways that you could reprioritize your choices and your life in order to make both the relationship and the overall system that it exists inside of more functional, more happy, and more whole. So, we're going to talk about five things that you can try that are going to be kind of Hail Marys in a relationship. So these things usually are not going to come without a cost, okay? They are whole-ass repair attempts. Most of them require some risk-taking. But they're also what I call no-fail repair attempts. And so what I mean by no-fail is not that they're definitely going to go right or that they're definitely going to save your relationship, but I think that each one of these is going to, at the least, even if it totally flops in the face of repairing something with the other person, it's going to give you a massive amount of information about yourself, your own values, and what you need in order to stay happy in a relationship long-term. So without further ado, we will get into what some of these look like. Repair attempt number one is getting curious about the complaints that you have inside of your relationship. And specifically, figuring out what unfulfilled dreams you have for the relationship that might be hiding underneath those complaints. So this is something that is directly taken from the Gottmans work. They're kind of the go-to resources for relational repair, in my opinion. They talk a lot about how what kills relationships is actually unfulfilled dreams. So a lot of the time, what's behind our resentment, our frustrations, the things that we keep bringing up to our partners over and over again that we want them to change, that they just refuse to change, is some desire we have that is going unfulfilled. And if we can learn to communicate from the language of desire and specificity, rather than from the language of refusal and frustration, we are likely to get a much better result. One of the most well-known things about the human mind is that it responds a lot better to positive instructions than negative ones. When we are appealing to ourselves or other people using the language of stop or don't or I hate it when you, basically what we are doing is trying to get the other person to exercise their willpower to stop some sort of energy that's happening inside of their body that wants to express itself in a certain way. When we are speaking to ourselves or other people through the language of, I want, I would be so excited if, do you want to join me too? What we are doing is appealing to a completely different part of that person. We are making an appeal, at least, and whether or not they pick it up is going to be up to them, to their life force energy. So to the part of themselves that can come online and can want and can meet us somewhere that might be expansive and growing. And that type of energy tends to have a lot more momentum behind it than that energy of just restraint and willpower. And I just want to be clear that this does not mean that we can never ask someone or we should never ask someone to stop doing something that might be harmful towards us. But a lot of us don't even consider, we don't even make conscious for ourselves what our desires behind those things might be. And often when we get attached to that, what we end up presenting each other with are much sexier and more interesting options for what could happen inside of the relationship than what we're proposing when we're simply wanting the bad parts to go away. So we're appealing to people's sense of possibility rather than appealing to the part of someone that might already be pretty overloaded with day-to-day life to exercise more willpower. The no-fail part of this is that even by surfacing those things inside of ourselves, regardless of if we ever communicate them to the other person or not, we are getting in touch with what our desires are. And when we get in touch with our desires, it gives us more energy to approach almost any problem in our lives. And so, whether or not we're able to fulfill our lifestyle desires with our partner, or our sexual desires, or our desires for a deeper friendship, or a more compassionate way of communicating with each other, whether they can meet us there or not, surfacing that that is the desire behind our complaint gives us positive, life force inducing energy behind what we want. And in my opinion, anytime we do that, we end up perceiving of more and more ways that we could get those desires filled, even if they don't come directly from our relationship. Right? So this is about getting more in tune with ourselves. It's kind of doing that self-recovery piece in tandem with the repair attempt. So we're going to someone and saying, hey, here is a part of me that I want to express with and alongside you. Do you want to meet me there? As opposed to stop doing this because it's limiting this part of me, right? It just hits in a different place in the psyche and it comes in with a very different energy. Which brings us very naturally to whole ass repair attempt number two, which is embody the changes that you want to see in your relationship instead of simply demanding that they happen. So we've already kind of talked about this, but this is such a subtle one that I think can actually trip people up quite a bit because sometimes we think that we are actually making a bid for repair by, let's say, asking our partner to meet us somewhere or do something for us. When we ourselves are actually not in the energy that would be open to either receiving the fulfillment of that or to perpetuating it. So, for example, I was once in a relationship where my then partner and I both read about the Cartman drama triangle at the same time. And we both loved the model. We were like, this explains so much about our conflict with each other and what we're struggling with. We're going to use this to solve all of our conflict in the future. And then what ended up happening was that we just naturally both developed the sentence, you're stuck in the drama triangle, as part of our fighting lexicon. And we were both able to kind of laugh at ourselves and each other about that. But the point here is that the drama triangle is all about getting out of the blame dynamic, right? So ceasing to point fingers at each other and criticize each other, and instead collaborating on what you want to see happen in your relationship. But what we were doing was using the intellectual content of that model to energetically perpetuate the exact same cycle we'd been stuck in for ages, which was that cycle of blame and shame. And this is such a natural and easy thing to fall into in relationships, especially when we're going through periods where we're maybe trying to upskill by reading a bunch of things around how to have better communication or whatever it is. We can, in total good faith, lose sight of the energy that we're bringing to our repair attempts, right? If we're going into a conversation with someone and we are technically active listening, we are technically repeating back what they're saying to them, but what we are exuding is contempt and hostility, that is 90% of what is going to be getting communicated to the other person. So when we think about the changes that we want to see in our relationships, what we really have to focus on is, am I embodying that change? So if I want this relationship to be less shaming and blaming, am I actually showing up with really positive and open and encouraging energy? Am I yes-anding the statements that my partner is making? Am I getting excited about them and excited about the future that we could have together? If I want a more sensual relationship, how do I show up more sensually and in a more receptive state to my partner's sensuality when they bring it in? If I want a more exciting relationship, what could I start planning or suggesting to the other person that they could then get excited about with me? If I want a more serious and connected relationship, which questions could I start asking that might allow that connection to start deepening? Or how could I respond to the questions that my partner or my friend or whoever it is already asking me in a little bit more depth, which then gives them permission to come and meet me there if they want to? So focusing not just on what we are wanting and asking for, but what we are embodying and inviting people into is again going to be no fail, because it is going to invite in people who are resonating with that in or outside of that particular relationship. So if we want more fun and excitement and we're showing up with more of that energy, maybe our partner meets us there. Maybe they absolutely don't or can't, but maybe our friends start picking up on that energy and responding more to it. Maybe our colleagues or our clients start picking up on it, and then there's more excitement in our work lives. So this is no fail, because this gives us the opportunity to start growing into a new part of ourselves that maybe we've been suppressing or ignoring for quite some time in order to keep a certain equilibrium going in our partnership. And even if our partner cannot or will not meet us there, we at the least get some practice in embodying a new part of ourselves that we once thought we had to wait for our partner to elicit in us in order to explore. And we get to start expanding outwards from that part. We are still allowing ourselves more wholeness. Okay? Which is always, ironically, the place that deeper intimacy is able to come from. So like all of these, this might be risky relationally, but kind of no fail in the grander scheme of things. Third whole-ass repair attempt is one that we actually already talked about in the differentiation video, but this one is stop trying to change each other. I would recommend for a designated period of time, so pick something like 3 to 6 months, and just notice what happens in your relationship if you consciously decide to give up on trying to change anything about the way that your partner is acting towards you, or about how you are showing up in order to please your partner. That might be different from how you would show up more naturally. And what this does is kind of two things. One is it forces differentiation, okay? So it kind of forces us to go, this is me and that's them, and we do not like or want all of the same things. But if I am not trying to change them so that I like my experience of being around them more, I actually have to start getting really clear on what happens in me when they are just being exactly who they are, or when they are just speaking to me exactly the way that they would like to speak with me. And this gives us a lot of data on ourselves and our own needs and our own desires and what hurts us and what inspires us things that we might actually not be paying attention to at all, when all of our attention is focused outwards on trying to change the other person's behavior. So this both gives us a lot of data on to what degree our authentic selves are or are not naturally compatible. And it forces us to, maybe for the first time, look at the relationship without the veil of fantasy on top of it. A lot of us spend a great deal of time thinking about not how our relationships are, but about how we want them to be, what we wish were different, what we think could change over time, so we should really keep persisting at this and see what happens. When we stop trying to change each other, what we get a view of is the relationship's potential in reality. This might be pretty dysregulating. For those of us who are used to relating to other people primarily through that lens of fantasy and potential and possibility. And what that will do is give us information about how our actual selves respond to this other person. This is no fail because it sobers us up. And it helps us get a firmer grip on what adaptations we might have to make in our lives if we want this relationship to work without being in a constant state of resistance to who the other person actually is. So maybe we realize that when left to their own devices, this person isn't particularly kind in the way that they communicate. And now we have the choice. Instead of endlessly trying to change the way that they are talking to us, which I kind of assume we've already tried to do if we've ended up at this point in the relationship dynamic, we can really look at, if that never changed, what would I do? Would there be things that I would have to kind of give up on communicating with my partner about? Because I know they're never going to be able to receive it and respond to it in a way that feels good to me. And if that were true, what would it mean about the structure of the rest of the relationship? Or is this a relationship that, if I'm being totally honest with myself, I would leave if I knew that it was never going to change? That might be a very sobering piece of data that we actually need to arrive at. Or some things might be more adjustable, right? Maybe we've been trying really, 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 really hard to get our partner to have more fun with us. But when left to their own devices, maybe they are just a pretty serious person. And maybe there are parts of that that we really love. And so if we were able to accept that more, we might be able to look for other solutions around that. Like, okay, I can just let my partner be exactly who they are, and I can develop a network of friends that I can have more fun with, or whatever it is. And so the idea here is not that it's bad to ask things of each other, right? The first two things we talked about were specifically around making asks, but sometimes when that falls short, it might be because we are more attuned to the relationship's potential than we are to its reality. And when that is the case, coming back down into reality and figuring out what the relationship would look like if we were not trying to change anything about ourselves or the other person can be the thing that gives us a lot more useful data about whether or not we want to keep going and how. We'll ask repair attempt number 4. Ask yourself the question, what haven't I said in this relationship? What am I withholding because I think that it would be too disruptive to the rest of the system? Or because I think it would be hurtful to the other person? Or because I'm afraid of getting rejected if I say this thing out loud and ask for it? What have I not said? And then, if we're able to, say it skillfully. Okay, so a lot of the things that we hold in because we assume that there's no way to communicate them without being incredibly rude or disruptive. And there are philosophies out there that are going to tell you, go say the rude, disruptive thing and see what happens. And I think that there is deep signal in that. So there is wisdom in being able to surface what it is that we're withholding or have not told another person. But there's even deeper wisdom in figuring out how to say it in a way where the majority of the vulnerability falls on you. Okay, so if the thing you haven't said is this massive judgment that you have about your partner, what you might need to do is figure out, and what does that matter to me, right? If I think that they are so lazy and it drives me crazy, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to be rude, the question we want to ask ourselves is, why does it matter to me if they're lazy, and see how far we can dig with that. Well, I feel really frustrated and unmet because I am trying really hard to provide for our family or to make the relationship work. When I see them not trying as hard as I'm trying at the things that would keep our relationship together, I feel lonely or unloved, or like this part of me that deeply wants to work together with someone on all of these big life goals is going unfulfilled. Right? So we get to that desire behind that complaint or that frustration and figure out if we can say that. And the thing that's really important here is that I genuinely believe that a lot of relationships die because people do not want to say something that either sounds irrational or that they think they shouldn't have feelings about or whatever it is. But anytime we are withholding major things from each other, our bodies are often giving off the signals of incongruence constantly. So if we are mad at somebody, but we are only saying the technically correct things to say because we feel like we shouldn't be mad, now what's getting communicated to the other person is not what we're saying with our words. It's, I'm mad at you and you don't get to know why. Right? We pick up on what people are experiencing even when they're not saying it. So I personally am a big believer in not leaving any irrational things on the table in relationships. So never walking away before you have at least tried to bring in whatever it is that you really think you shouldn't be feeling or that you shouldn't want or need or want to ask for. So I remember once being part of this friend group where there were so many frustrations and tensions happening between people. And there was one particular person who was always trying to keep the peace and who was always going to the different parties who were in conflict with each other and trying to kind of really get everybody's perspective and help people see eye to eye. But things just weren't jiving, right? No matter how hard the group or this person worked at it, people were still struggling to get along. And then one day, the person who'd been doing all of this peacekeeping work came out and said, I am so frustrated with this dynamic and with parts of the role that I have been playing inside of it. And you could just hear a pin drop in that room. Partially because everyone could feel that there was unexpressed tension in the group, but no one really knew exactly where it was emanating from. And it was definitely not all that person. But I believe that this is so often what happens when we finally say the thing that we've been holding in whatever way we're able to, that is skillful and wise, which is that everybody starts feeling more sane because we do pick up on what's going unsaid. And it is often quite relieving to just hear the truth, even if the truth is not what we would hope. Now, again, I want to be clear. If your truth sounds like a whole bunch of very invulnerable judgments of the other person, that is not what I'm recommending sharing. Okay? Find out the more vulnerable need or desire underneath that judgment and communicate that. You might be really surprised at what ends up happening. And I will say, there are at least two times in my life I can think of where I was thoroughly surprised by doing this. In one case, to figure out that this person who I assumed could not hold any of my more vulnerable feelings or needs actually had a massive capacity to do so. The first time I decided to try going to them and seeing what would happen if I brought in some of what I was struggling with. And then another time to find out that the very same desire I felt like I could not possibly express because my partner would not want to meet me in it was the exact same type of desire they had been withholding about the relationship, and that they had the exact same story about around me. And so we can get to really beautiful places with this where we're uncovering actual compatibilities that we may never otherwise have found. But again, we have to be willing to take those more vulnerable risks in order to get there. And I'll maybe just quickly add in that a couple of things that can be helpful in this respect if you're not good at communicating more challenging pieces of information are, one, just think about how would I want to receive this? So if somebody were coming to me with this particular desire or this particular thing that they were struggling with or whatever it is, in what way could they talk to me about this that would feel really good to me? And that would make me feel like, okay, they're doing this out of genuine care and out of respect and dignity for both of us, not to be kind of insulting or cutting. And just putting ourselves in the other person's shoes in that way can often just go a long way in opening up our thinking about how to deliver this. And two, we can also practice, right? So there have been a couple of challenging conversations I've had in my life where I have first gone to a friend and said, hey, can I try saying what I want to say to this other person to you? And I want you to not play the role of my friend in this. So don't just kind of be on my side thinking everything that I say is correct. But actually imagine that you are my partner or that your partner is coming to you and saying this. And just notice what comes up in your body. And then let me know what you feel. And I've gotten really, really useful feedback this way. So I remember once doing this with a friend who, when I was done kind of giving my speech about what I wanted, which I thought was so beautiful and well calibrated and positive, my friend went, well, now I'm really clear on what you want. But if I were your partner, I would be sitting here feeling like, do you want this with me or do you just want this with anyone? Like, this does not feel that personal at all. And that was a total blind spot that I was missing. It felt extra vulnerable to say, hey, I want all of this with you. So my brain had automatically created a speech that was a little bit less vulnerable. But my friend was able to check me on that and to give me really good feedback around it. So running those two kind of experiments out, how would I want to receive this? And then testing it out and seeing where we might have some blind spots that other people can alert us to can be really useful in this way. And fifth and final whole ass repair attempt that we can try out if we are at that point where the other option is kind of just giving up or walking away from the relationship is surfacing all of the unexpressed wants and needs that we can on behalf of both parties, and then asking, how could this relationship become big enough? How could it expand in order to meet all of these seemingly contradictory wants and needs? And this sounds so simple when I say it, right? Almost like, well, obviously we would already be doing that if we know how. But I really do find that sometimes if we're not asking those questions in life, our brains are not thinking about how to get to the answers. For example, sometimes if I have a work week that is just filling up really intensely, I sit down and I ask myself the question, how could I get all of this done in about half of the time without compromising on quality? I'm often very surprised to find that as soon as I put that question out there into the kind of void of my thinking mind, answers start appearing. And the same is often true relationally. Very often we come into relationships just assuming that there are all of these needs that are in direct conflict with each other inherently. So if I want to feel more connected, but my partner is more distant, it must be true that one of those needs has to win out. But when we start asking ourselves the question, how could I feel more connected without my partner necessarily coming and meeting me in these very vulnerable places that would maybe be my preference, we might actually start getting some ideas. In the book Passionate Marriage that goes really into differentiation, he talks a lot about how to have something called one-way intimacy, where basically one person can still feel close and connected by sharing what's true for them and having it be received by their partner, without their partner necessarily needing to have the same level of personal disclosure in return. And so a lot of these questions that we think might be rhetorical could actually turn out to be totally non-rhetorical. We've just never actually posed the question and gone out searching for the answers. And often the answers to these questions can really expand us, right? I once had a situation with a close friend where I was going through an absolutely just gut-wrenching, terrible heartbreak at the same time that they were newly in love and so deliriously happy about it. And we were having so much trouble with not really knowing how to be around each other. Because I had this idea that if I'm sad but they're happy, I have to put aside all of my stuff and kind of feign constant enthusiasm. And they had kind of the opposite idea. If I'm happy but Heidi is sad, I have to ignore and shove down everything that I'm feeling that's positive in order to be with her in her sadness. And so we actually played with this. We asked ourselves the question, how could our friendship become big enough for us both to be in the exact states that we are in without needing to kind of fake things or change our states and still stay connected across those differences? And that became a really useful inquiry for me, not just in that friendship, but in all of my relationships. What do I do when I'm experiencing something that is super different from the experience of the other person, and yet I still want to be in close contact with them? So this can yield really interesting results that expand us through relationship, right? Rather than automatically assuming that one set of wants or needs automatically has to trump the other. How can this relationship expand to become big enough to meet both people's needs, which requires both people doing some inquiry as to what their needs are, right? And being willing to actually say them out loud. So again, a lot of the reason why all of these attempts are whole-ass attempts, not half-ass ones, is because they require big vulnerability. Okay, so I think that a lot of us have gotten accustomed to thinking of vulnerability as things like sharing our deep traumas or stories about ourselves and what we've been through that's unpleasant or pain that we're in. But my personal opinion is that for a lot of ourselves, myself very firmly in this camp, telling someone what we want and don't have, telling someone about something that we want with them, is infinitely more vulnerable than talking about what hurts. Talking about what boundaries we need to put in place, or what we're actually not okay with that we've been pretending we're okay with, is infinitely more vulnerable for a lot of people than asking someone else to change. Okay, so every single one of these attempts is whole ass because it requires us to be the most whole versions of ourselves inside of the relationship. But if these go right, they are the absolute highest leverage moves we can do to actually start changing things, because they force the relationship to become big enough that both people can be more of who they actually are in connection with each other, which means that over time, everything runs more smoothly because there is less suppression needed on behalf of both parties. There is more acceptance of how both people naturally are, which allows you to build your environment around your natural tendencies. And there is more flourishing, because you end up getting to those points where both of you are able to express the unexpressed parts of yourself in new and creative ways. Ideally together, but maybe also you just figure out, okay, you can't meet me here. Where else could I go express that part of myself in my life so that I don't need it to come from you? And that might mean, again, I don't want to sugarcoat everything, that you end up realizing, okay, the full non-suppressed version of each of us probably would not be happy in a relationship with the other person. So maybe we have to go our separate ways. But in the process of uncovering all of that, we have learned so much about ourselves and our own values and the way that our own energy actually flows. And so there is no way this is at the least not going to serve our wholeness. All right, there could be much more to this video as per always, but I am going to leave it at that for today. As always, anything coming up for you as you go through this video, any thoughts, questions, comments, please leave them in the comment section below. I love you guys. I hope you're taking care of yourselves and each other, and I will see you back here again really soon.